And we're back, episode number 230 of the Parish of the Patriots. Tuesday's rolled around again, and whatever's brought you here, I'm glad you're here, and glad you've joined us for this week's show. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm kind of a little under the weather. Got some other health issues that have kind of cropped up. I don't know what's going on, to be honest. If I do find out what's going on, I'll let you know. But, we're just soldiering. We're soldiering on through that. If you are new, first time tuning in, we do have a Christian specific segment. It's roughly the halfway point of the show. When I say roughly, that means very roughly. Sometimes it's way earlier, sometimes it's way later, but it's somewhere in there. Invite you to be sure and stick around for that. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We do pass the plate around. There is no hidden content. I don't have any kind of paywall, Patreon, or whatever the hell else. What you see is what you get. If you think it's good, if you get something out of it, I appreciate you putting a little something in the plate. It's easy. Just scroll on the description page and you can see it right there. Got snail mail, got Bitcoin, got Monero, got an email address. Drop your notes. If you got a different cryptocurrency, believe me, I'm not proud. I'll take your altcoins and I'll take them with great gratitude. So let's go ahead and get into the listener supporter mailbag this week. Honk honk. That's from Mr. T. Welcome to the clown world. Yes, honk indeed. There's the end of our listener supporter mailbag for this week. Much appreciated. I thought we'd look. I have read an article this past week. 1 minute and 43 seconds. Just about 1 minute and 43 seconds after the intro music. And we've already getting into the meat of the show. It may be a new world record. I don't know. I read an article, and I'll try to remember to attach it, to stick a link on here somewhere in the description, because I've read this article and it's pretty good. It didn't lend itself to like using on the Daily Nationalist to go through for the Daily Nationalist, kind of technical and a really wordy, but I will try to remember to link it. I thought it was interesting. You may or may not, but it was looking back and it was talking about COVID. And this guy was an expert and he's gone back and studied the data. And it was funny because his conclusion after studying all of this data and cutting through the BS was basically what a lot of us have been saying all along. What he found was that looking at, the overall death rate, there was no virus. There was for sure no deadly pandemic. I mean, the data he's going through doesn't lie. He's looking at what many of us were looking at the time, which was the overall mortality rate, the overall death rate, and there was no bump. And what bumps there were in the states with the strictest lockdowns. He was pointing out that like if you had a state over here that was crazy lockdown, a state right next to it that didn't do any lockdowns, there was the bump in the lockdown states and nothing in the other states. The pandemic magically didn't move around, didn't cross borders. But overall, the death rate was unchanged. Again, that's not to say there wasn't a bug going around. There wasn't a virus or whatever. People weren't getting sick with something. But overall, as he says in the article, that had the media and the government never mentioned this thing, nobody would have known the difference. Now, I realize at this point, COVID's kind of old news and no one really wants to talk about it. But I thought, it's worth looking back. It is. It's worth looking back because they're going to roll this out again. And my guess is we're going to get some sort of version of it about the climate. I could be wrong. Could be a climate change thing. Or they may do another deadly virus, or who knows what the hell else. But they're really going on with the climate thing, and we have a climate emergency. We're under the heat dome, whatever that is, the heat dome. We're in the heat dome. I've been living in Texas basically my whole life, and it's been hot every summer in Texas, and I can tell you right now, I'm going to have a psychic prediction. The heat dome is going to last through August. We're going to be buried under the climate change heat zone. And then sometime in September, probably around the middle of the month, all of a sudden the string of 100-degree days is going to break. And that'll be it. And then it'll start getting cooler again. It does this every year. But you see, people's attention spans are just short. So I think it's worth going back and really thinking about it. We all know it, really thinking, because sometimes it just like slips by. I think this is part of the program too, because they hammer you with something. It's like mentally abusing. Like if you lived with somebody that is very, you know, emotionally manipulative, you know, and they're abusive. You know, they just keep one thing after another. You live with a woman like that. You know, she's, you come home every day and it's like, what kind of BS is she going to dream up to today? What kind of hysterical drama is she going to come up with? Because it's going to be something. That's how the government is treating the people. That's how these programs are working. They hit you with something. Blam, 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 blam. And they just hammer the people with it. And then no sooner have they hammered them with that. And then they move on to the next thing. And they never give you a chance to take a breath and reflect and say, what the hell was this? They don't want you. See, they got to keep you slammed under this abuse. They got to keep you just constantly in some sort of state of mental and emotional agitation. Because otherwise you might stop and go, what is this? They've got it. So they move on to the next thing. Blam. Then they move on to the next thing. Blam. Then they got a new crisis. Blam. And then we're going to have to take these drastic emergency measures. Blam. And then we're going to do this. Blam. And we got another election. Blam. And we're taking more of your rights. Blam, blam, blam. They never give you a chance to breathe. They never give you a chance to reflect. And the idea with that is, because if you reflect on it, you're going to say, this is a bunch of BS. Why am I putting up with this person in my house that's making my life miserable? You might boot her to the curb. They want you thinking about those things. That's why the abusive spouse that rules over us tries to keep some kind of drama going all the time. Some kind of drama. Sometimes it's little stuff, like the way they went on about that stupid submarine. You have all these people going on and on about the submarine. We talked about it. It was interesting. But I'm talking about people that were like emotionally invested in it. And the media, the 24-hour media just going on and on about, look, five people, what was it, four or five people died. That ain't nothing. In the big scheme of things, that don't amount to nothing. And yet, look at the way they just went on and on and on. Why? Because like if you die, if you're one of the however many people that die every day in normal car wrecks, that's different than if you're stupid enough to go down in that homemade submarine and die. What makes that death any difference besides, you know, the average car wreck death probably isn't your fault. It's just the circumstances. And getting in the submarine, you were just being a dumbass. I mean, really, aside from that, what makes that death any different? And then the media go on and on and on and on. They always got something. They don't want you to ever have a moment. Turn that shit off. Really, if you turn into these news networks, I mean, seriously, just turn that shit off. I read news stories every day, almost every day. You know, I got to. Yeah, I got the Daily Nationalist on Mondays and Fridays I got to do. I got, you know, I got to stay up to date. But there are times that I'll take a couple of days and I don't read none of that crap. Got to take a break from it. I'm telling you, they want to keep you going. They want to keep you agitated. They want to keep you in some sort of state of emotional distress. And want you reflecting. COVID. It was so silly, wasn't it? Looking back, it was so silly. And the things they did were very wicked, very wrong. And I want to look back at some of this. I want to talk about it, really reflect on this. Again, we'll brush it off and say, well, I've already heard of it. But really, let's think about this for a minute. Really just stop, take a breather, and just really think about what they did. The many, many lies they told. The little hobgoblin Anthony Fauci is going to get his day in hell. And these wicked deceivers. It's coming. God's judgment. Hospitals overwhelmed. Remember that? Every day you turned on your TV and it was news story after news story about hospitals overwhelmed. And they would run the exact same file footage over and over of these people rushing around in their scrubs and their signs on the windows and COVID ward, stay out, and hospitals overwhelmed. My gosh, these poor doctors and nurses, they're on the front lines. They're heroes. The COVID battle, the hospitals. And I remember there was cases and in particular, and I don't remember who it was. I'm not snubbing them, you know, not giving them recognition intentionally. I just don't remember. And I don't feel like looking it up. So I don't feel that good today. There was a woman, and it was in Britain. And in Britain, they were selling the same thing. You know, hospitals are overwhelmed. The hospitals are overwhelmed in Britain. And this woman went in the hospital with a video camera. And what she found was ward after ward, hall, wing after wing closed down, like literally shut off. Not shut off because like the file footage on the media, it was just dark. They shut them off because patients they would normally have in there getting things like cancer treatments, you know, or their heart problems seen about. They couldn't come in because there's a deadly virus. They all just took a vacation. They basically took a damn vacation. And she filmed this. There it is. There's the video proof. Instead of seeing the media's file footage, the same file footage of these people rushing around and, oh my gosh, it's chaotic. The reality was it was a lie. Like everything else, it was a lie. And they pressed charges against her, by the way. I don't remember how that turned out. But they pressed charges against her because she could have been interfering with the hospital's duties in treating the deadly COVID pandemic, even though she was filming empty hallways, closed down hospital wings. People were denied treatment and care that they actually needed in the name of this hoax. And the healthcare industry, and, you know, that's a broad term. But a whole lot of these doctors and nurses went along with it because they got paid. I lost so much, you know, I lost so much any kind of faith, respect, whatever you want to call it, for the healthcare industry during that. You know, if people will sell out like that, they'll sell out to anything. My attitude now is, you know, doctors, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, these doctors, you know, they get a kickback on those prescriptions. I guarantee they do, because that's all they want to do. They want to write a prescription. If you got an ailment and it could actually be cured with, you know, change your diet, change your exercise, you know, take this herb or whatever. I'm going to tell you that they want to write a prescription because they're going to get something for that. I guarantee you they're going to get something for that. I have a very jaded view. The healthcare system. We all still have to deal with it. But I mean, I just assume, you know, it's like doctors and all the rest of them. I'm at this point that they're almost on tier with the media. Not quite. I mean, the media just is absolutely scum of the earth. But I mean, I just assume from the beginning that they're trying to work. And when a doctor's talking to me, he's trying to work some kind of angle where he can get a kickback. He can get some money. I heard of a case. I heard of a case from somebody here. Not too long ago. And they needed to just follow up with their doctor on a simple thing. I mean, it was just the simplest thing of telling them the report says this, the report says that. The doctor refused to call the person because they couldn't bill it. It didn't matter that the phone call wasn't going to take 5 minutes. They wouldn't do that because they couldn't bill it. Let that sink in. They couldn't bill a 5-minute phone call, probably not even 5 minutes. And a doctor won't do it because he can't bill it. That I ain't got no use for him. I mean, I do. We have to deal with them. You know, I mean, I would say I'm not dealing with them, but when I deal with them, I assume they're lying or they're just trying to get some angle to make money. You know, I lost all respect. Masks. Remember the masks? Of course, we all remember the masks. Remember how that came about? They started off saying you had to have the N95 mask. You got to have N95 mask because the science says no other masks are going to keep you safe from the deadly virus. Then when it came about that there wasn't anywhere nearly enough N95 masks, then they told you don't worry about it. Just put an old t-shirt over your head or something. Your old pair of underwear, just wear it around. That'll be your mask. Breathe through the skid mark in the ass of your old tidy whities. It's good enough. Of course, I should have clued people in that was bullshit right then. You wear the mask. It's got to be the special mask. Wait, we don't have enough special masks. Wear the mask anyway. Put a bandana on your head or something. What was important was getting you to wear them. And most people did. Most people went along with it. And they noted this. They'll go along with anything. I mean, one of the things they learned, the government learned, And one thing all the rest of us learn, those of us on the other side of this that don't buy into the BS, is that people pretty much go along with anything. They come out and tell you, don't you got to buy these special masks. And then when they figure out they don't have enough masks, then they tell you, don't worry about buying the special mask, but you got to wear something on your head. Standing 6 foot apart, wearing your mask so you can go to the grocery store. And it's funny because people got a little taste, you know. I mean, people who are political dissidents and have been for a while, you know, and speak the truth in the face of these lies, you know, we kind of used to it a little bit, I guess you could say. But a lot of people, they start getting a taste of it, you know. You go because the mask thing, the mask mandates, they weren't by and large enforced by the businesses or even the government. They're enforced by other people. I'd go in the store. I ain't wearing no damn mask. I'd go in the damn store. I ain't standing no 6 foot apart. I'd go up in the line, stand right behind somebody. They all get out of the way. I get to go to the front of the line because they're scared of the deadly virus. People would just sit there, though, and they give you these sideways looks. Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all probably didn't wear them either. They give you these sideways looks and looking at you like you crazy. Oh, my gosh. It's like they give you the same look like if you was walking around with a bloody knife in your hand, like, you know, maybe you're next.
Maybe you next.
They get all, you know. You see some of these videos go around of people freaking out and cussing people out for not wearing the mask. It was selectively done. Once in a while, people selected poorly and had bad outcomes. I never had any issues with that. I just got the sideways looks. And I'm wearing no damn mask. But we learned that people will go along with anything no matter how absurd it is. Again, I think it's important to look back at this because they're going to do it again. Because overall, I'm looking at this and it worked really well. Overall, I mean, it didn't work 100%, but overall, it worked really well. They took lessons from this, and I think we should take lessons as well, such as what we just talked about. People will go along with anything, and they will enforce it. So government doesn't have enough people to go around enforcing ridiculous mandates. When they pass these edicts and say that you got to do this, they don't have enough people to enforce it. But what they learn from this and what we have to learn is that they can get the citizenry themselves to enforce it. It's kind of like if you look back at the old Soviet Union, they didn't have enough, you know, domestic spy people to know what every single person was doing. But they would get everybody snitching on their neighbors and telling on their neighbors. And they didn't have to. These people were working for free. They were working for the domestic spy agencies for free. Run to the government and tell on their neighbor. I think they're sympathetic to the other side. I think they're really anti-communist or whatever. And it's the same program here. It's the same program here. They do the same stuff. This is just the same crap they've always done. They just kind of reheated it and repackaged it and brought it back. They get your neighbors. They're back in the old Soviet Union. They get your neighbors. They didn't have enough people. They just had to get everybody afraid of who's going to report them. Friends, family, neighbors, going to turn them in. People would get busted for having a COVID party. You know, they'd have a Christmas party. And remember they told everybody you couldn't get together for the holidays. You couldn't get together for Christmas. You couldn't get together for church. They shut the churches down. You can't do that. And if you did, you had these stories. The police showed up. Why did the police show up? Because some asshole snitched them out. Somebody's neighbor called up the cops, dialed 911 and said, these assholes are next door celebrating Jesus Christ and opening Christmas presents. And there's more than two of them there, whatever you are allowed to have. They learned this. We need to learn it too. They don't need enough people to watch what everybody's doing. They just got to get everybody else to do the work for free, thinking they're good persons, you know, thinking that makes them a good person. They're good people. You're the evil people. You're trying to kill everybody by not wearing a mask and getting together for Christmas. They've learned this. When it rolls out the next time, they're going to use the same program because it works. They got enough people to force you to do shit. But if they can get everybody else to voluntarily enforce it, socially enforce it, you see, most people, they get inside, they go into the store with no mask on, and everybody's giving them the glare like you're walking around, you know, spraying people with anthrax or some crap. You know, most people are going to buckle to that and, oh, oh, go get my mask and put it on. I don't care. I you know, after a while, you become immune. All these people, they'll force it for them and pat themselves on the back and never question. Never question. Shut down the churches. Got to shut down the churches. And only a handful of churches had the gonads to stand up and say, yeah, no, we're not closing down. Piss on you. What are you going to do? You know? People drug off. People were arrested for violating COVID rules. Even while politicians would get caught and they're all not wearing no masks. They're having a big old party and people still didn't get it. The people that ran around and gave you the stink eye and called up the police and snitched on you for having someone over for Christmas, having a Christmas party. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. These stories came out where these politicians are all yucking it up and having their wine and sitting around having a feast and laughing because you're so stupid. It didn't even matter to them. They still call the cops up and snitch on you and talk about what a good person they are. The hell's wrong with people? And roll it out again. We're going to get another form of this. One of the worst things they did is these old people in the nursing home. And if this doesn't convince you that if there's any way you can not put your family in a nursing home, this should have done it. I realize that there are some situations, like if somebody has a major stroke and they get fed with a feeding tube and they're like, you know, and crapping on themselves, you know, I realize that that's the, you know, but my personal belief is somebody's life shouldn't get to that point. But nevertheless, you know, they're extreme cases. I realize people got no choice. But let's also be honest, a lot of people in the nursing, there's a lot of people in the nursing home, family members in the nursing home, because the family don't want to dick with it. They don't want to mess with that. The COVID thing should have taught people that if there's anything you don't want to do, if there's any way you can keep from putting a family member into one of these hell holes, you should do so. There are old people dying in the nursing home. They still have their minds, you know. They're frail, but they still have their minds. And they're dying. And they wouldn't let their family members come see them. These stories, these are one of those. You read these stories, and most of them, you know, we kind of get jaded, you know. We kind of get immune. I don't react emotionally to a lot of these things. But that was one of the stories. We'd see these stories. And again, you have to realize they promoted these stories for a reason. They were sending a message. They were sending a message that we have this kind of power and you will obey. You will submit no matter what we do. This is the same reason they do the drag queen story hour. You know, they're telling you that we can do whatever the hell we want to you and you will lump it. So they promoted these stories and they showed these pictures of these old people on the other side of the glass just wanting to touch their grandchildren, their children one last time because they're dying. They only have days to live. But you can't go in there because there's a deadly virus and what, the person who's fixing to die might catch it? That's one of those things, you know, where you think, you can't help but to think, you get mad when you read this and you have to get a control of yourself and you think, they better been glad that wasn't me. You know what I'm saying? I like to see them do that shit to me. You know what I'm talking about? You think, you know, that I try to avoid Fed posting on my own show. No, but I mean, seriously, these nursing home people, yeah, you can't go in there. I just can't imagine, you know, your mama, your grandmama in there. They tell you she got a day or so left to live, and it's your last chance to hug her, your last chance to see her, and you got some bitch standing there with her hands on her hips going, you can't come in here, there's a virus, and you're just going to turn around and shake your head and walk away? I don't know. Yeah. It was a bad thing. There's some old people, a lot of old people that died alone when they could have been surrounded by family because of this. They're a very wicked and evil thing, and those that imposed it, not just those at the top, but the bitch-ass nurse standing there with her hands on her hips, she's going to go to hell, and she's going to answer to God for that, in the name of Jesus. Funeral homes were going to be overwhelmed. Remember that one? I remember the footage of refrigerated trucks. The refrigerated truck trailers. Semi-trailers parked outside of nursing homes because they were going to have to put so many dead bodies in there. Remember that one? And yet, we know now that the overall death rate didn't go up during this supposed deadly pandemic. So that tells you that's BS. The refrigerated trailer, reefer trailers. They had these reefer trailers. I would do a little. Yes, I know the terminology. They had these reefer. But see, if I just came out and said reefer trailers, a lot of people listening be like, I don't know what that is. Refrigerated reefer trailers parked out at the funeral home because they just got to stack these bodies in there because there's so many dead people walking around in hazmat suits. And we know the mortality rate didn't bump. It was a lie. They bumped in some areas because they just basically locked down old people in the nursing home and denied them care and killed them. And that was somehow okay. But anyway, nevertheless, it's another one of those BS stories. I remember the hospital ship. You know, this kind of circles back to the hospitals over one. Remember, they sent a U.S. Navy hospital ship. I think they sent it to New York, if I remember right. And they docked this hospital ship because they were going to be so overwhelmed, they would be able to put the overflow on this ship of all the people dying from the deadly virus. And then finally the ship left and they said, why are you leaving? And they said, we've never had a single patient here. There should have been a clue. But it didn't matter. The story must go on. It's exciting. If there was anything that's proved that what we've talked about for years is true, you had the shutdowns. Only the shutdowns didn't apply to the big corporations. The shutdowns only applied to the small businessman. The small businessman had to be shut it down. They had to be shut down. And yet the corporate stores were necessary. See, the corporate stores, they could stay open because they were just, what did they call it? A necessary thing. But the small businesses, you had to be shut down. You had to go out of business. It just proves that everything we've talked about for years was just demonstrated. You see, somehow a corporate store is essential, but a small business is not. The mom and pop type of stores, you got to be shut down because there's a deadly virus. But the corporate action, the corporate stores, they can make bank, increase that profit margin. And of course, you can't look back at the deadly pandemic without talking about the vaccine. And we talked about, you know, the mortality rate during the supposedly deadly pandemic been bumped, but it has bumped some since then after they started giving out this vaccine. They had to have this so that they could get the emergency authorization for the vaccine. And yeah, you know, it's they got, you know, the first clue people should have had, we had, but the first clue people should have had was that, you know, they right off the bat, they issued blanket immunity. Blanket immunity for the pharmaceutical companies. If this thing killed everybody, you couldn't sue them because, you know, it's an emergency because there's a deadly pandemic. And the pharmaceutical companies raked in billions. You think the politicians weren't getting a cut of that? Does any, y'all don't, y'all know. But the average idiot out there, I guess, did. I don't know. Doctors get the cut. Politicians get the cut. The pharmaceutical companies are making bank. And, hey, you know, we'll see what happens when we get this to people. People still reaping the rewards from that thing. And I suspect will be for a long time. Of course, they'll do everything they can to cover up. We have all these mysterious things and ailments. You know, young people having heart attacks and stuff is now a much more common thing. I'm not going to say it's common, but it's more common than it was. I don't know. Yeah. Now, again, we look back on this. Now, we've looked back on some of the stuff of this and how successful, you know, just, I mean, you know, as from a detached point of view, how successful those things are or were. I'm sorry. How successful those were. There's no reason to think they're not going to build on that and roll that out again. As an experiment, it worked really well. There are a few hiccups, you know, and they always factor in there's going to be people like us that aren't going to go along, but we're a very small minority. Most of the people, my gosh, some of these people still walk around wearing the masks, even though now the government has even made it a point to come out and say, yeah, those didn't actually work. And these people, it doesn't even matter. And that's part of the experiment, too, I think. You know, the government now comes out, now it's over. And they say, yeah, the mask, that was kind of a joke. It didn't really work. And you still sometimes see somebody walking around with a damn mask on. It doesn't even matter. They're still holding on to it. like that feeling of being a righteous good person. Say, I'm wearing my mask. Disgusting. Now, you look back at this now. We've kind of looked back at some of the things they did. And like I say, they're going to roll it out again. I don't know if it's going to be for another made-up pandemic. I don't know if it's going to be because there's a climate emergency, because it's hot in the summertime. And that sounds so stupid and absurd, but we're at this point. And like I say, we look back, like with the mask thing, and people bought it. Most people, not obviously not every single person. We're talking about groups here. People bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. They went along with it. Hook, line, and sinker. They snitched out their neighbors. They're having people over for Christmas party. Heaven forbid. My neighbor's driving his car. We're in the middle of a climate emergency. We got to lock everybody down. I don't know. Now, as we look back at this, now we fast forward to where we're at today. You look back at COVID and where we are today. How many other new crises have they bombarded us with since then? Non-stop emotional stimulation. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many, because it's always a new one every single week. You know, I mean, they get one with staying power like the COVID. That was a long staying, but they hit you with something every week. They got some kind of emotional media narrative they hit you with every week. Bam, 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 bam. They don't give you a chance. That's why I wanted to sit. Just take a minute to look back. Like I said, I realize this is old news and y'all know about, but really, I think it's important to stop and reflect, because I don't think they want you to do that. Because, you know, as soon as we moved on from COVID, it was the next thing. Blam. Then it's the next thing. Blam, 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 blam. It's constantly, like I say, it's like an abusive spouse. You're going to bring some sort of drama every day when you get home from work. She's going to be breaking dishes and throwing crap because she got something. Something's this huge deal today. Tomorrow it'll be something else. That's the way. We've had countless crises, emergencies, new things to be mad about, new things to be offended about. When you look at these things, you got to emotionally detach yourself from them. You read stories that make you angry. We all do. We have these emotional things. I saw a deal. Remember, I saw a deal years ago, several years ago on TV. It's been a couple of years ago on TV. And, you know, it was one of these lunatic women, and she had her 7-year-old boy on there dressing him up as a girl, talking about how he's transgender. And all the people on the TV show were talking about, that's how great thing. You're so smart. You see something like that, somebody destroying a child's life. And even though you know it'll be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and have the terror of being thrown into the ocean with a weight around their neck, even though you know that, you can't help but to get emotionally angry because somebody is victimizing a child for their own self-aggrandizement, for their own, basically their equivalent of, see, I'm wearing a mask. See, I'm promoting my 7-year-old as transgendered. What a good person. Everybody's saying, yes, you are. You're a really good person. You see something like that and you get mad. But you got to emotionally detach yourself from these things as much as you can, because that way you can see things, the bigger picture. You see things for what they are. We've been inundated for several years now with this whole transgender thing. And I'm going to tell you, it's a distraction. It really is. I mean, yes, there is an agenda, obviously, at work here. But, you know, you think about a lot of this stuff is ginned up. You know, look over here. Look over here. The economy is going in the toilet. They're tanking the economy. I mean, it is. They're tanking the economy. Everybody's getting more and more poor. The little select handful of very wealthy people are getting more and more rich. But don't be upset about that. Look over here, trannies. That's the way I view it. I'm numb to it. I am. I'm numb to it because it's just a constant look over here. Be upset about this. You go on YouTube and YouTube promotes this crap. You know, I don't generally look at political videos on YouTube. I look at hobbies. I don't post on YouTube. Obviously, that would be meaningless because they would just ban my stuff. You know, what I look at on YouTube is just personal hobby stuff that I'm interested in. But they cram my feed in with these people, these ticket takers. And they just shove it like just constantly. It's like recommended for you. And it's all these people, you know, that are talking about these things, and you're supposed to go, man, I'm glad somebody's talking about this, but it's meaningless. The economy's tanking. They're barreling us into World War III, which we're already in, and it's getting closer to the day it's going to go hot. Imagine, wouldn't be World War III officially goes hot. You're going to have cities, you know, and it don't have to be nuclear. You know, they can drop a conventional bomb. Imagine you're working at Raytheon at a Raytheon plant and you're glad because you're one of the few people who got a good paying job. But then one day a missile drops on top of your job and kills all your coworkers and you get out with your leg blown off. That's what war is like. Americans think it's a TV show, but it's not. We're barreling towards a situation like this, and they got everybody running around talking about trannies and gay pride and this and that and what you're supposed to be offended at. And look, this crazy person on TikTok. Look at all these videos. Oh, so-and-so reacts to these crazy people on TikTok. I have no idea who the hell these people are. The lunatics get amplified, and the conservatives complain about them. Some people, I don't even know who they are. Why do we care about them? You're supposed to know, so you can't afford a place to live. You can't afford a place to live. Most people, you can't afford a place to live. Wages are crap. Been crap for a long time. You hear all these people like, man, nobody wants to work. They got to, I go through my town. There's help wanted signs everywhere. Those jobs don't pay anything. And rents are ridiculously high. People can't afford a place to live. You know, don't look at that, though. Look over here. Look at this crazy person. You have no idea who it is on TikTok. Let's get enraged about that. I mean, we already know that conservative politicians don't do anything. I mean, that's just observable reality. That ain't even worth talking about. We all know that. Or you're talking about the Republicans in the U.S. or the Tories in Britain. We know they don't do anything. Would you look at these promoted conservative commentators? You look at them, the ones that they'll spam. If you watch one of their videos one time, YouTube will spam your homepage with all of their damn videos. And you watch them, just check them out. You watch one or two of them, you'll figure out real quick. You know, the commentators say, oh, look at this stupid rando person off of TikTok. Who cares? See, it serves to amplify these people. It was like when you see these stories and, oh, you know, this corporation has responded to this Twitter outrage and fired this employee for their political views. But who cares what some random person on Twitter says? It's amplified. And the conservative commentators wind up amplifying those people, too, by saying, oh, look at these people, this crazy person on TikTok or Twitter or whatever. And they're saying this and they're saying that. If nobody was talking about them, nobody would care. You're always going to have crazy people. These people get amplified. Just laughing. Talking about YouTube spamming your feed. I was scrolling through my homepage on YouTube the other day. You know, and like I say, you got to understand, I don't do political videos on YouTube. I watch videos about things I find interesting. You know, I watched a little mini documentary the other day about the decline of the truck driving industry and some of the things that have led to that. I just thought it was interesting. There's no good political videos on YouTube. It's just gatekeepers, ticket takers. That's all it is. The people that had interesting things to say about political stuff have been long banned from YouTube. But I'm going through my homepage and it didn't stop YouTube's algorithm from spamming my homepage with these recommendations. And I'm looking at these recommendations. You know, and they're spamming. At one point, they're spamming my recommendation with Ben Shapiro videos. Like, really? Really, YouTube algorithm? You just... Yes, I'm going to tune into Ben Shapiro because he's really got some hot takes. A lot, the point here is, let me reel this in and get to the point. We need to get into the Christian specific segment. But I mean, a lot of the stuff you want emotionally, I guess what I'm trying to say is you want emotionally detach yourself from this, even stuff that initially kind of upsets you. You want emotionally detach and ask yourself, why are they talking about this? You know, and yes, you can look and say, well, they're trying to promote homosexuality among our children. Yes, that's part of it. But you step back from the emotional reaction you have from that and you say they're distracting everybody. I do. I believe 99% of this transgender thing is a distraction. Look over here. Look over here. Look at these crazy people. Don't you want to be upset at them? But what are they distracting us from? We're heading into the hot part of World War III. And like I say, World War III is going on right now. It just hasn't gone officially hot here. everybody's getting more and more broke. You know, they keep talking about the economy. I saw a deal the other day. Inflation's cooling off and the economy's doing fine. Why unemployment numbers are low? And everybody, y'all listen, y'all know the same as I do. That's bullshit. But look over here, trannies. Look what the gays are doing today. I mean, yes, I understand they are promoting it, but that's not the only thing they're doing with it. You see what I'm saying? There can be multiple things going on. You know, I'm not saying they're not promoting this. Yes, I understand they're promoting this. Yes, I understand there's an agenda behind that, but that's, you have to understand there's more than one thing going on with these things. The other part of this is it's a distraction. They've got everybody running around talking about trannies and homosexuals, and nobody's talking about the fact that we're all getting more and more poor, and the fraction of a 1% that holds all of the wealth are getting more and more rich. How about that? How about we talk about that? How about we talk about the fact that at the path the government is on, we're going to be in World War III hot version, and like this time the U.S. gets to experience cities being blown up. You might get a bomb dropped on your job. You might be going down the highway and a stray missile might land in the freeway and blow you up. That might be important to you, but don't worry. Look over here. What bathroom is a tranny using? You should really care about that. So this is a distraction. The other part of it is it's a distraction. Like I say, I'm not saying there's not another agenda. There can be multiple agendas going on. Got to open your mind. There's multiple things going on, not just one thing. They're doing multiple things with this. I've noticed, and like I said, we need to get in the Christian specific segment, but one of the things I've noticed, talking about World War III going hot, and like I said, we're going to wrap this up, but I've noticed, and I mean, y'all probably too, if you notice now, you're getting these weird emergency alerts on your phone that I used to never get. I got some the other day. There's emergency alert. We're just testing this emergency alert system so we can alert you for an emergency. What is this new system that you're testing? I got one here a while back from TxDOT. I've never gotten an emergency alert from TxDOT, and it said, this alert system is to tell you that traffic has been shut down in this area, and you should send us your information of where you are, and we will update you as to what you should do. And I'm thinking, well, a bad traffic wreck that you've shut down a road, we really don't need this level. And the first thing that struck me is they're setting these systems up for when bombs start dropping and highways are getting blowed up and you know, they can tell people, well, do this, go here, go there, take shelter here or whatever. I think these weird emergency alert things are because they know they're getting ready for this to go hot. And a lot of people are going to be caught unaware and they're going to be like, trannies! You're not going to care about what trannies are doing when... You, if you're living in the city and your area gets bombed, you ain't gonna be worried about drag queen story hour when you're driving down the highway and there's smoke in the horizon. You see missiles coming in, boom, 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 boom. It's a distraction. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. I kind of went. That's what I said earlier. It's roughly the halfway point. And again, I realize I'm not 100% on my A game. I hope the show is still on the A game, though. I am doing my best. So without further ado, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. I saw a man, and he had great wealth. He claimed to be a man of God, of preaching of the Lord, and he enjoyed his great wealth, his opulent wealth, without fear of persecution, without fear of being shut down, closed out, of being thrown in jail, perhaps, or being smeared in the media. Instead, as he claimed to be a man of God and to preach the word of God, he just enjoyed his opulence and his opulent wealth, rather, in the world. What can be said of a man like that in a society like this that we live in? In a normal time, perhaps a man might have some prosperity while preaching the word of God, but in a society as sick and as wicked as the one that we currently live in one that is so openly satanic and twisted and evil, what can you say about a man like that? It's not as though persecution is something that a believer seeks out. Suffering is not something any of us seek out or wish for. But in a society this wicked and this corrupt, persecution and hatred of the truth is constantly, constantly attempting to sniff out that which is good, sniff out the truth, sniff out somebody who's not going along with the program. I was reflecting on this thing, a man such as this, and after some consideration, I thought, let him enjoy it. I hope he enjoys it. This man is already old, and the inevitability is that it will be taken from him. You see, all your rewards of this world, anything that the devil gives you, it will be taken back. It'll be taken away. When you think of those who were in charge of running this country many generations ago, and how each one in their little way sold out the future for a little gain for themselves. Perhaps they took a bribe. Perhaps they got some land they wanted, or just simply a big pile of gold or cash. Those who spent that gold and that cash to buy their favor and to get the laws changed to enrich themselves and to gain more power. Eventually, that person that took the bribe, the one that took the bribe, the one that sold out the future, he died. And those that gave him the money that bought him off eventually got the money back. That's the way it works with the devil. Any reward you get from Satan is always temporary. He's going to work it around. You it's just on loan. Your celebrity status, your fame, your fortune, your power that you pretend you have. It's always temporary. Always. It's temporary. And eventually it's stripped from you and is taken back. A man is enjoying his wealth like that. It will be taken from him. Now, I'm not saying every man that has wealth is like on Satan's payroll. I'm talking about somebody who's claiming to openly speak the word of God. And yet, in a society this wicked and this vile, worries not about persecution. Worries not about, you know, running afoul of the system. It's just laughable on his face. We've come back to Jesus telling us, by their deeds, you will know them. You know, and it is. It's these things are really the things Jesus has taught us and things we discuss here. I really think they're fundamentally very, very simple. You know, these aren't, I mean, yes, we get into, you know, philosophical things. We get into the details of it. And it's fun to do so. But the overriding principles that the Lord has laid out for us, the guidelines for us and how we seek him and come to know him, when you get down to it, when you really boil down to it, it's really very simple. Because of this, sometimes I don't know what to talk about on these shows. It's like, it's really, I think these things are really very fundamentally simple. If you seek God, you seek to know the Lord, and you seek to know Jesus Christ, our Savior, the more you come to know him, the more you persevere. It's not going to be quick and it's not going to be easy, but the more you persevere and the more you are determined to know him. I said this a while back, and I do believe it's a fundamental thing for us to hold on to as believers. You do not seek God, nor love the Lord more than he feels that way towards you. Anytime you may be tempted to think that your efforts to get to know him are somehow thwarted or that God doesn't care, as long as you don't give up, he's not giving up on you. The idea that you would have more determination to know the Lord than the Lord would have to bring you close to him is just silly. It's just foolish. But the more you come to know him and the more you seek to do the right thing and you grow closer to him, the more these things are written on your heart. And what that means is you do them, you find yourself more often doing the right thing without even really thinking about it. It's just because that's what you want to do. You're not forcing yourself to do something because, well, this is what God wants me to do. You're doing them because you want to. That's what it means when it says his laws will be written on our heart. You're not going and it's like, well, what am I supposed to do in this situation? You don't even have to ask. It's just simply what you want to do. And it just so happens to also be the right thing. This will come more and more naturally to you as you progress, as you develop. in the spiritual ways. Don't expect this to make any sense to the world. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Yes, we are going to read a little out of our Bibles, believe it or not. Let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just going to do verses 18 and 19. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And we know that we seek out wisdom and understanding and such in our own spiritual life. So what does that mean? But he's talking about the wisdom of the world, what the world finds to be wise. The world chases after, you know, those of the world, they chase after the things of the world, and they are wise of the world. They know how the system works. They don't have to actually, you see people and they have this great wealth and they don't really have to even do anything. You know, they just game the system somehow. They all know and they're all on the take and they're in the loop. When the corruption money floats around, they're always going to get a cut and they have this great wealth and they have this power and they would consider themselves wise. And they look at people like us, you know, who suffer for the truth, who suffer for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, those guys are stupid. They're foolish. If they were smart, they would have a lot of money. They'd have power, wealth, and they would be in the end. God works this way. You look at Jesus when he walked the face of this earth and he chose his disciples. Who were they? It's regular guys. He can go around to the temples. He can go around to the seminaries and find the most learned people and say, who's your top student here? Because I'm looking for disciples. Found some guys mending their fishing nets and said, hey, come on, follow me. I'm going to use you. That's the way the Lord works. That's a pattern. Jesus Christ himself didn't come in the form of some great scholar. A carpenter. He came in the form of a carpenter's son. A regular working family. Somebody who works with their hands. It's not the way the world would do things. If a man were choosing it, a man would say, oh, we've got to find, you got to have a guy. You got to have a guy with that's gone to the right schools. He's got the right family. He's got the right parents. But that's not the way God works. And the wisdom of the world, God turns it into foolishness. It's foolishness before God. And some of that foolishness we've already kind of touched on. You look at people, politicians or whoever, and they have great wealth. And they have great power. And you see them and they're old. You know, Mitch McConnell, y'all probably saw this on the news. Mitch McConnell, this past week, he daughters out there. And you know, to do his press statement, and he just went off in like having a mini stroke zone. I'm not making fun of the guy, but isn't it absurd? Isn't it the foolishness? Here you have a man, and he's one of the most powerful politicians in the United States. And instead of spending he's got more money than he's ever going to need in his short life that's left. I mean, come on, when you're in your 80s, you knocking on the door. I mean, really, imagine being in your 80s and you still holding on to power. If you got more money, he ain't got to worry about, you know, being destitute, chunked off in a nursing home somewhere. He's got enough money for the rest of his life, and I'm sure for any other family, you know, direct family. Imagine holding on to that. I think for these people, they get this mindset that like somehow that power and that money is going to save them. But you see, that is all they've got. As death draws near, as it's obvious and death is drawing nearer and nearer, the inevitability that is going to be stripped from them because somewhere in the back of their mind, they know devil's going to take that back. It's going to be stripped from them. They are going to lose. Imagine having that kind of wealth and power. Prestige and people kissing your ass and you got people running around and taking your picture, media people, and you're so important. And knowing that absolutely without a doubt, with 100% certainty, that was going to be taken away from you. You were going to lose that. You're going to have that and it'll be lost. But that's the way it works. And as you get closer, someone like that gets closer to death, I think that maybe explains a little bit of why they cling to it instead of just retiring in your old age. You know, just retire and you don't need all that hassle anymore. But they grab, you know, just that much more to it. You just can't let it go because that's all they've got. And they know it's going to be taken away from them. And knowing it's going to be taken away from them makes them cling to it all the much harder. When people like that look at believers, it just seems like foolishness. We're not clinging to any of that. But when death inevitably comes for us all, you see, that whole thing flips on its head. When everybody's just rocking along through the world, that person, the person has wealth and power and prestige and is considered somebody important. You see, as you get to death, it all flips the script. And all of a sudden, that person is foolishness. For everything they invested in was in the world. And now it's gone. And once you're gone from the world, you're not coming back. You're not going to get any of that back. It's taken from you and it's gone and you're left with nothing. Not just left with nothing. You're left with nothing for eternity. In the absence of time, there's never, ever going to be a spot. You can't go, well, someday it might get better because you're in the absence of time. That is where you are. And the man who seeks God and spent this life wisely in a spiritual sense, seeking the Lord, coming to understand Him, even in the face of persecutions, even in the face of criticism, even in the face of mockery. That man is rewarded. That man goes into the next life, the real life, spiritually mature. Now who's wise? Now who's important? This sense doesn't it make sense from this viewpoint? Doesn't it make sense? When you look all throughout the Bible, in other words, when you all look all throughout history, time and again, God has this pattern. The more you read the Bible, the more you understand patterns. I really do. You just start seeing the patterns and you see these things play out. And God has this pattern of using regular people, regular common people. When you think about those who are considered important people, they've already got their heart set on worldly things. They've already made their choice. Why would he go to somebody who's already chosen basically the other side, who's already chosen, you know, to put their hearts in the things of this world? And when it says the Pharisees, they loved to walk through the streets and have people greet them and be treated as an important person, and they holler their prayers out as if God's going to hear that. And they love the praise of men, and they'll say these sanctimonious things, and then for just a few cents, they'll seize a widow's house and kick her out on the street and make her homeless. Their own greed and their own wealth. Their hearts are on the world, regardless of what words they say. See, that pattern, it comes back to your actions. Doesn't matter what their words. They might come out and say something that sounds really profound. They would come out and say something really profound and deep and spiritual. They're still foreclosing on the widow because she owes a couple hundred bucks or something on that house, and they can get it and they can turn a profit on that. This is the wisdom of the world, and God confounds it. The world can't understand. Understand as a believer and as you progress in your faith, the world, and by the world I mean most people that you run into, they're not going to get it. Don't get frustrated with that, but they're not going to get it. They're not going to get you. They're not going to understand. They can't understand because all they can see is what they can touch and what they feel around them, what they can perceive with their eyes and with their hands, what they can feel, what they can put in their hand, what's in their bank account, what kind of job you got, how much money you have. That's all they can understand. People aren't, the world isn't going to get you. They're not. You're going to do things, you're going to say things, and you're going to make choices. As you grow, you're going to make the right choice. You just will, because you want to. Not because you're trying to put up some front for the Lord, but because you want to. Can always spot somebody who's true in their faith, or at least who is mature in their faith. You see a man, and he's a self-professed Christian, And you say, perhaps you ask that man, how did you spend your youth? You know, I mean, what kind of youth did you live? And he probably isn't going to want to talk about it. None of us are without sin. None of us will be without sin up until the moment we leave this world, we leave the shackles of this body. Christian man doesn't want to talk about those things because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. At one point in time, you were foolish enough to make really bad decisions and to chase after silly things and foolish things of this world. And yet, sometimes you'll see somebody and they'll tell you they're a Christian believer and all of this. And if you bring up the same topic, you ask them, well, you know, and what other things have you done in the past? And man, they're all too glad to tell you. They got a big smile on their mouth and they're talking about all the women they've had sex with. And man, the parties they used to go to. That's somebody, they're not there. Or at least they're not there yet. Best case scenario, they're just very, very immature in their faith. And they can look back on those things and it's not embarrassing. When they look back and they get a big smile on their face and they're glad you asked. Let me tell you about all the different women I banged. Let me tell you about all the different parties I used to go to and the people I met and the things I used to do. As I say, at best, that person is very, very spiritually immature. At worst, they're lying. At worst, they haven't come to know the Lord at all. I've seen this as well. Somebody that will tell people all about how, yeah, I'm a Christian. Boy, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And they get the opportunity to tell you about some of the things they've done. They don't tell it with shame. They get a big smile on their face and they're glad to tell you all about it. That's somebody whose heart is not very far from those very same things. Hasn't left their heart. Now understand, like I say, they may just simply be, you know, there's a case by case deal. They may simply be spiritually immature. But you see this reflected. I mean, the world looks at that. The man that starts bragging about his sexual exploits or whatever different things he used to do. And the world says, yeah, that makes sense. Wow, you got that many women. Wow, congratulations. That there's somebody. You know, he did that. But for the Christian man, you're like, what a pointless thing. And what did you accomplish with that? You know, are you surrounded by children and grandchildren? Because that's really, at the end of the day, all that amounts to, if it produces anything. Well, no, it's just a waste of time. It's just you're wasting your time. But the world says that's important. The world says that's what really matters. In summary, I guess to wrap it up. To the world, what amounts to wisdom, what makes sense to the people of the world. And again, understand, most people you're going to run into, especially in this wicked society, have turned their hearts to the people. We look at this really evil world we live in, this evil society that we live in. That is a result of the people have turned their hearts far away from God and they've turned their hearts after their own desires and they're all chasing their own desire and has generated all of this chaos. It really isn't that complicated. Yes, there's people who are manipulating society. Yes, evil, wicked, and corrupt government. Yes, these people are, you know, politicians are basically just puppets. All of that is true, but if the people themselves had not turned away from God and had set their hearts upon the things of God, none of those other things would matter. If the people's hearts were set upon God, but everybody has gone chasing after their own lusts and their own desires. And for them, those things of the world are all that makes sense. And that's what, you know, the more those things you can acquire, the more those things you can chase after, that's what makes sense to them. And they're going to look at you and you're not going to make any sense. Because to them, you're talking about not doing those things and not even wanting to do those things. And they're going to think like you're almost like an alien or something. It doesn't make any sense. Kingdom of God, what's that? But just imagine, at some point, all they have, they will lose. And all that we have, we will gain. You imagine that line, and you imagine you're traveling along, and there's a line drawn out, and that line is death. And as you go down this path, you know, you don't have a lot. Everything you collect, you're collecting things, but everything you collect is being forwarded to the other side of that line. And the man on the path next to you, he's collecting things for himself, and he's got this, he's getting a bigger and bigger collection and more and more things. And he's looking over at you like you're crazy, because everything you collect, you're throwing forward over the line, and you're collecting different things in him. And when you both reach that line, everything he has, he crosses over, and those things won't cross the line, and he's stripped down to nothing. And you cross the line, and there's all the things you collected. Right there where you put them. Now who's wise? Now who's rich? Now who's wealthy? And who is the fool? We're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of it. Like I say, sometimes I struggle with the Christian-specific segment. I really do. Because I don't think these things are really that complicated. There are deep things we can get into. And when we do, you know, and it's interesting. But don't. You know, as you pursue your faith, don't make it more complicated than it is. Jeez, there's a reason Jesus said, my yoke is light. You know, my burden is light. You know, because these things really, the guidelines, the framework of these things, yes, it's good and it's interesting to delve into the details and the minutiae of it and to really understand. And we strive to do that. I strive to do that. And I strive to share that experience with y'all and hopefully we all grow a little bit. But it's really not that complicated. It really isn't. These things are just, you know, the Lord has made this attainable. You know, it's really not that hard. It's just a matter of where you set your heart, where you set your priorities, and what you're going to, you know, to take everything that you gain, you know, to set everything in this life that you have and to take it and invest it over that line, to invest it in the kingdom of God. This is faith. You know, you're going to cross over that line. You're going to have faith that everything you've done, the works of your hands and the things you've sought are going to be waiting there for you. They're going to be there. And this ultimately is an act of faith. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here again. I hope you enjoyed the show, all of it. I hope you enjoyed, got something out of our Christian specific segment. And I hope, as always, that you'll come back next week right here for the Parish of the Patriots.